Hey everybody.
Hi.
I am Christina and I am definitely an alcoholic. Lauren, my sponsor, asked me to speak, and what I've been realizing is that usually my first thought when fear is involved has a little bit of selfishness. So like my first thought is like, how do I get out of this? You know? But I said yes. And that was God, because AA has shown up for me in so many ways throughout my whole life at this point. I can't really bring myself to say no. And the same thing happened when my mom asked me to stop over before the meeting. She's like, can you do me a couple, you know, can you fix the TV? I'm like, oh my God. But I want this time to like meditate so I can sit. And I'm like, no. That's the first thought, but I said yes, you know. Because it's like the least I could do. And I was able to stop by and see my grandfather, who's he had a massive stroke. So he goes from the chair to the bed. He doesn't have much of a life anymore. And he just lives for us stopping by and seeing him and just talking to him. And he's a better memory than like anybody I know. just being there and being present and just letting them know where I was going to be at tonight. I know that they're going to sleep really sound tonight, that I'm in a meeting that I'm in an AA meeting. And, I put my family through a lot. somebody I was talking to, a few months ago, I reached out because I was having struggles in my business, just from the unmanageability of alcoholism. And I didn't know if I was going to lose my business, if I had to sell it or, and I know she's in AA and she's been through it and she's, been through the same thing. And so I was getting some advice because that's what I was taught to do. And, it's pretty amazing that if you're going through some struggles, there's usually somebody in these rooms somewhere that has been through that experience. And, So we were talking about the first step, and she said something, and I've thought about it every single day. She said, Christina, the longest journey that you'll ever take is that to your first step. And I like just, I cried all day today. I don't actually cry a lot, but I think I'm gonna cry tonight. I am really grateful to be sober. I'm grateful that I have the understanding of who I am. I have the understanding that I'm an alcoholic. Not necessarily that I have the knowledge. I had the knowledge for quite a while of what alcoholism is and what it can do. You know, line for line in the book, I've come to these meetings for quite a long time. But the understanding came, and it changed pretty much everything as far as my willingness to do this thing and to surrender finally. And I think I'm so emotional because I've been an alcoholic since the first drink. I've been coming to meetings since I was born. My parents were two crazy people running around early sobriety, you know, like not following any rules and getting pregnant with me, and here I come, and then I'm a crazy little kid running around. So I've been in AA, like literally around these meetings and around alcoholics my entire life. And I grew up in AA. And my mom's been sober since I was born. And my dad, not so much. Give you a little bit of an idea. I was like, he was getting kicked out of a recovery house like 3 years ago. And I was like, all right, Dad, you can move in with me, you know. And I love my dad so much, though, and I love my mom, and I'm not up here, and I'm not going to, like, trash my parents and my childhood, and because it's not what made me an alcoholic. I mean, I have trauma and I have pains and pings that crop up, absolutely from my childhood. And I work through them today with my higher power and a sponsor, a very, very good sponsor. And we worked through that pain, but I ran from a lot of that pain for a long time. But it still did not make me an alcoholic. What made me an alcoholic was what happened when I took the first drink, and it didn't happen for the other group of people that I was with. Like, the reaction was not the same. And I knew at that moment that is how I was going to make it through life. I had this deep, deep feeling of loneliness at the time when I took my first drink, and that solved that problem. Like, it really did. And I was going to do anything I could, to get the next one. And my whole adolescence, I was in group homes and rehabs and insane asylums, and I was never home. I would get maybe a home pass, and I would drink on the home pass the second I could get my hands on what made me feel just okay, and right back to juvie. I was in a cycle for pretty much my whole adolescence. I wasn't even home. So right off the bat, like, alcohol had a pretty big hold on my life, and my family was just terrified, and really I just found something that worked. Like, it just worked. My head didn't torture me when I drank anymore. I felt okay. I felt like I could stare people in the face, and I felt like I could be myself, and I just didn't fear anything when I was under the influence of whatever that was at the time. And I never grew up going to church. My dad was kind of a cowboy with spirituality, so he would teach me about, but he was a big Jesus guy, loved Jesus, but teach me about different religions and the Buddha and Dalai Lama, and he would teach me philosophy and all these things, and so I had some understanding just from what he would teach me, but I never really went to church. I never had like a relationship, really. The closest thing I had to a connection to anything that felt really good was alcohol at the time, so I just kept running with that. I'm like, you guys don't understand. Like, I need this. I need this to survive. And I eventually, Pio didn't know what to do with me, so he's just like, okay, I'm gonna send you into the woods for a month, and you're gonna go with a bunch of inner city girls. So it was called Diacon. It was like a girls' hiking program. I was 17, and we had like four showers. He didn't realize that I like absolutely love hiking, so I love the whole thing. And at the very end, you have some solitude, like 3 to 4 days, where it's actually just you. You build yourself a little shelter, you cook your food, and at the very end of that, I was journaling, and I remember having my first like real experience with God, and it came out of the blue. I didn't expect it, and it wasn't anything super big. It was just like I felt light enter me. I felt light surround me. I felt warm. And I felt like something was speaking to me and just saying, it's going to be okay. And it was profound enough that I went home from that, and I didn't really drink until for a few years. I went to AA, and I got off probation, and my PO was all happy with me. Like, what happened to you out there, you know? And I was like, oh no, like, I didn't even tell him. I was just like, I guess the woods are good for a girl. I don't know. And I got off on good behavior, and everything seemed pretty okay for a while. I was going to AA. I mean, there was definitely, I was nowhere near a first step with alcohol. I think I met a guy and I saw my out of my house because he had a car and job and an apartment. So I was just like, I'm going to pick you. And, I picked him and, oh my God, he's still in my life. Like, he's my daughter's father and like, he's just like, oh my God, this has been a long journey with you. Oh my God, I put him through so much. And, but I didn't know. You know, one thing I will say is like, you know, we do a lot of stuff as alcoholics, but we're not bad. And like my sponsor just instills that in me all the time. Like we're not bad. We're just sick, you know? And, I didn't know. And, so, you know, I'm sober, but, I remember like walking around. We lived in New Hope at the time. I just had a baby and, I was like, just about to turn 21, and I was circling the bars like a shark with walking my dogs, and I was like, I felt like I was just about to be of height to get on the rides at like the amusement park. Like I was almost there, and like I could not wait. I didn't tell the man this. He really wanted to be sober, and I was like, oh my God, like all I could think about. And eventually it grew and it grew and it grew, and the minute I turned 21, I was out. And he fell with me for a little bit, not as he, you know, he kind of got himself together a little quicker than I could. But, you know, just 3 years later, I wake up and I'm like, what's all this about? It's like morning shakes, but I was still really young. So like, I didn't understand what was happening to me really. I didn't understand what was happening. I just knew that, like, you know, drinking in the morning made that go away. And then this, so I started to drink myself into some serious pain. That, like, experience I had in the woods was kind of just like a fleeting thought. And then but I was so far from it. And I had it again in my apartment. I dropped to my knees and I reached out to God and I begged. I begged for something, some relief, some help, some answer, some clues, some understanding. I just begged. And, there it was again. It was this grace, this light, this warmth, this okay, this feeling. And I got sober again. And that's what got me back into the rooms again. And I didn't work out with him. I caused enough damage there. But I found myself in a community in Lansdale. I had moved back and, I started to, okay, you guys, I've been hearing this for years now, but I'm actually going to give it a try. And that's when I first met my sponsor and we started going through some work and I started to experience this program. I mean, I had a group of friends and we were so close and bonded and, we were pumped for service. Like we were like starting going into H&I and like, starting like young people's meetings. And, I mean, I saw like this group every single day. We were just on fire for God and for AA, and it started to really, like, amazing things happened. And, like, I was able to, like, open up a business, and I did that with the help of this group, really. They were really, like, so influential, and we were family. And I was like, okay, well, this is working. I don't know what happened. I blame it on the Ouija board. But there was like a dark cloud that happened, with this group and we were dropping like flies. one was going, then the next one, and then the boyfriend at the time was like decided that he was gonna start smoking weed, and I was like, okay, everybody. And then I like talked to my sponsor, and I was like, I really don't want to do this. Like, I don't want to follow suit with this. This is bad, right? And she's like, oh yeah, it's gonna be really bad. And I was like, okay. But he's doing it and my friends are doing it. Like, I want, like, I miss them. Like, I want, like, I think I was more, like, I didn't have like a very strong connection at the time with my higher power. I had a very strong connection with the fellowship at the time, which is not a bad thing. Not a bad thing at all. But there's three parts to this. So, and I relapsed, and I had this really bad feeling. Just, I'm like, you know, it's just a joint in the woods. Like, what's this gonna do? And, oh my God. Yikes. It took like 3.5-4 years to recover from that. It was, quite difficult, and a lot of things happened. and I think we all like know, you know, what happens, but, or what can happen, but it completely broke my heart to lose this group and, to lose my sobriety and to lose myself. And then I, and it just progressed really, really fast. Within, I think a year, I was like, 97 pounds going into rehab. Just physically, my physical bottom was 2019. I mean, I was, I don't know how I made it through that, but, I did. And, I tried again when I got out, and, there was a lot of suggestions like, stay away from him. He's not gonna, you know, he's not sober. Stay away. And I was like, okay. And I didn't take that suggestion. because I was just like still totally obsessed. And, But I was serious, and I started to have some really amazing experiences, because I did have a type of bottom. I think I've had three bottoms. They just didn't happen at once. Okay. So that's okay. That's just my story. But, I had a bottom, and I was like, that was wildly uncomfortable. I don't ever want to go through that again. So I started doing the steps, and I started having some pretty amazing experiences, especially with step four and forgiveness. At that time, I picked up a couple new little, things like PTSD and like, you know, like, I don't know, like some serious stuff happened in that year. some really serious stuff. And, so yeah, I picked up some of that, and some other disorders were like looming, and, but I was working through, like, this forgiveness aspect that the fourth step shows us. And, and I really saw for the first time, that I am no different from anyone else that had harmed me. That, they were only doing what they were capable of doing at the time. They were incapable of being different. And I was able to see that because I was able to see my own faults. Like I was incapable and I was sick, of being any different. And if I had been, you know, connected to, God and these principles or any spiritual principles at all, like I would not have chosen to act that way. So I started to learn that about the fourth step, and I started to really integrate forgiveness and it was really profound for me. And I was having very beautiful, like, heart experiences, and I was pretty much by myself during that time. Like, I wasn't dating or anything. I was just in my room a lot. I had my daughter, and I was kind of just exploring God on my own. And it was a very sacred time. It was a beautiful time, and I loved everything that I was learning through that. And when I look back, and there was a lot of service going on, like COVID shut everything down, like I had the fellowship thing started happening again, and I people would come to my like my mom's horse farm, and we had so much fun, and because the meetings were shut down, and I loved it. It was really amazing. And but I don't think I went really past the fourth step on that go. I don't think I was willing to let go of those character defects. And I just wasn't beaten down enough. And I just didn't want to take full suggestions. And I was playing with fire. And I didn't take suggestions. And I ended up relapsing, because what happens for me is, like, I go into a kind of, when I'm not connected to God and other women in this program don't know what's going on inside of my head, it will talk me into going back out. That's its primary purpose, alcoholism. And so it manipulated my mind, because I wasn't connected, and I ended up relapsing on kratom or something. But I was like all into it. I was like buying like every type of kratom, like the red vine, the blue vine, whatever. And I was like, I'm taking this for pain, like natural, it's natural, I'm fine, I'm only going to take, you know, as prescribed or as I'm prescribing. And I'm like, it's totally fine. And dude, I didn't even make it the first day before I just dumped it all in the cup. Like, I was just like, need to feel better, you know, like, I'm going to make this thing go away. And, you know, the next day I was doing what I, you know, progressed to doing. It only took like a day or two. So it fooled me again. And honestly, it took 2 years to come out of that. In that 2 years, I lost custody of my daughter. I lost my house. I don't know how I still have my business, but I'm able to see the unmanageability of it now that I'm waking up and sober. I am hanging on to it by a thread, and if God sees fit to let go of it, I will. But if not, then there's still hope. Like, so there was a lot of damage done there, and I just completely terrified everybody around me in those 2 years. Like, when I lost custody, I knew it was the right thing, because I was not safe. I could not get it. I might have gotten a week sober at that time, maybe. That I just could not get any sober time together. And I was like reaching out to women desperately, like, can you take me through the book? Can you take me through the book? And I'm like, hi, going through the book. I'm like desperate. I'm like, oh my God, like, I didn't know this was going to happen. They didn't tell me. I mean, they did tell me. They did tell me it would happen, actually. But I just didn't expect it to be so bad, you know? And, I wanted to be sober. I just couldn't. Even for my daughter's sake. And, you know, I have this person come into my life, and he's like driving me around a detox. He's like my little savior, my little protector. I'm like driving me around to detoxes, and I'm coming out of detox, and he's, you know, I'm high the next day. He's scraping me off the floor. He saved my life, is what he did. God put someone in my life, because if I had been alone in that trailer during that time of not having my daughter, I do not think I'd be here. He confiscated a lot of things off of me, hundreds of things off of me. And I know that God put him in my life for that purpose. And we're still together today. Oh my God, I have some living amends with this one, but it's just the most patient human being I've ever met in my entire life. And, sometimes I think I don't deserve it, but obviously I do. And, So, getting sober. Eventually I was like, you know what, AA is not going to work for me. It's just not going to work. I'm going to do something different. I'm going to do something different, and it's going to work, and I'm going to try, like, Buddhism or that kind of thing, and, like, just meditate and take psychedelics, and I'm going to be fine. And it kind of did, like, it got me off what I was doing, but 10 months into it, that, my own little idea there, I went insane. Like, so insane, like, there was no other, like, someone would have had to, it was either I was gonna drink, or someone would have had to, like, lock me up to not drink. Like, there, like, that mental blank spot they talk about, like, there was, I lost all control. And that's just what happens to me without this stuff, you know? That's, you know, I do feel that I have, you know, maybe like I'm like a dual diagnosis or whatever, but there's a lot of things that I have to treat. And, this has to be number one, for me to be okay. And I went nuts. and the last 2 months that I was out, I don't think that I drew a sober breath the entire time. Like morning, afternoon, night, not a sober breath was drawn. And I think I was just going on to the bitter end at that point. I didn't think that I was going to ever get sober. I was like, I've been trying this for so long. It's just not going to happen for me. My daughter's better off, you know. But I crashed my car. Luckily, nobody was hurt. I think about that every day. I really do. I'm in, like, a really cute little sweet neighborhood with, like, kids running around every single day. And I'm just like, oh, thank God that nothing happened. I just hit this guy's truck, and I have really good insurance, and I just got a new car and stuff like that. I didn't have, like, I'm pending a DUI still. And I haven't gotten it. But I'm probably going to get it, and that's fine. It's totally fine. Something happened. Like, I just was like, I was like, I gotta do this. This can't happen. And I went like 10 days, and I remember leaving a meeting. I was so uncomfortable sober that I just left in the middle of the meeting and just ended up at the bar. And, there was some mystery substance that I consumed. I thought it was this, and it wasn't that. And that was like the way that I felt the next day, which is my sobriety date. I felt so disconnected from my soul. I've never felt that disconnected from my soul. It felt like somebody just sucked it out of my body entirely. Like I was just hollow. And I've never felt like that before. Out of all the, you know, the bad things, like, that was the worst feeling in the world that I've ever had. And, I was like, I don't ever want to feel like that again. Like, I finally feel like I got to that point where that was the feeling of all feelings. And I can still go back to that feeling. I can still tap into that, like, suffering. And I'm so happy for that suffering. Like that suffering like needed to happen for the grace to happen. And going back through the steps this time, every step of the way was so painful. It wasn't like I've gone into like the steps before with kind of like a perfectionist, like, you know, like good student, you know, like let's do this, like really inspired. No, every single step of the way, my alcoholism fought. As far as the fourth step goes, and because I had taken this third step, it's like I felt like I had to turn to God almost every second of the day to get power to do anything, especially the four step, because my alcoholism was fighting me bad. I mean, I was like, did not know if I was, which way I was going. I didn't know if I was going to stay sober. I didn't know if I was going to like run away and, live out of my car. And I was, that was an option. And I contemplated that. It reminds me of the story in the book about the guy in the deserted barn. I felt that way. I was like in that, and I can't believe that that was even like a thought at the time, but that's kind of where it had me. And, but I had, this sponsor who, man, she like laid everything down for me. She really did. And the way I identified with her, I've never identified with anyone on that level. So it was just another person that God put into my life that was just like so sacred and bonding. And I heard her. I heard what she said, every word. And I felt so understood. And it's so important to have a good sponsor like that. And she worked through this process with me so patiently, and you know, not a piece of her was judgmental through any of it. She understood, and it was a very painful four step. It really was every step of the way. I had to pray to write down, to put pen to paper every single time, and so I was really ready for the fifth step. I was like, oh my God. Like, not to scare, I don't want to scare anybody on the fourth step. The first couple times it's alright. But once you do it like four or five times, it's like, then it's like, you gotta get through some muck, okay? I like, did our fifth step, and it wasn't anything like grand. It wasn't anything like, like a lightning bolt or something, but, I just didn't want to drink anymore. I was like the next day I didn't think about a drink. I didn't think about running away and living out of my car. I had this like freedom and this awareness that, and this hope that actually I could get sober and I could stay sober and that this is an all-inclusive program for anyone. And and I waited like a week. I went on a trip with my daughter, and I waited like a week to do 6 and 7. And every day I talked to God, and I was like, I think I'm ready to get rid of some of these defects. Like, they're not doing me so good, you know? And I like just talked to them every day, and I was just like, I think these really gotta go. I'm gonna really take this step. It's a big step. It really is. I didn't, hesitate taking this step though. Like I was ready. And I know when my defects of character, which we all have, like, they crop up, you know, like, and a lot of the time the pain of them will inspire the change. Like when I'm hurting others, when I'm fearful and hurting others, you know, when I'm projecting, you know, it's painful, and I still do it. You know, I'm not perfect. But I, at least I have the awareness today. And, I think that's the most important thing for me. And I think that's, where my mind's at. What it's saying to me. Do I need to tell this to my sponsor? Probably. Yeah, she probably needs to know this one. I should probably tell a couple of people this one, actually. This one's really bad. And there's like, and we've been able to like identify where they're coming from. Some of them, you know, if I like have like a hysterical reaction, you know, my sponsor says if it's hysterical, it's probably historical. So we've been able to work on, childhood stuff this time. A lot of childhood stuff came up in this fourth step, which I think is why it was so painful. And I think it's why I ran from it for so long. And, I really had to face it to stay sober, and I feel like the level of forgiveness that I have for everyone, like everyone that's ever done me any wrong, I never thought that my heart would feel free in that area, but it is. And it's not that, and she's taught me that, you know, the reactions that I'm having when someone is maybe treating me a certain way, the reactions I'm having is not their doing. It's not them. It's something in me that's being triggered, and that's what we have to look at. So I do not vent to my sponsor. Maybe like I get like 5 minutes in, but it's a very short, it's always, Let's look at what's really going on, you know. Let's look at the fear behind all this. Let's dismantle the ego a little bit. Let's get to the truth. Let's get to God, because that's where the truth is. And I have to see the truth to stay sober. Like, I have to. I cannot be in resentment for more than an hour, or I am certifiable. I mean, and I sometimes just let it go, because feeling angry sometimes feels good. It's like, yeah, like it's like a power thing, you know? The ego is powerful. I mean, it is. And, but I get sick really quick, and it's just not worth it. Like, I feel like, I've gone to a place where I'll go to any length to stay sober. I'll go to any length, and that's new. That's new to this experience, because I really did have to set aside everything that I thought I know about the program, just from growing up in the program and being around it for so long and hearing everything. I really had to have a new experience, and I had to really just go back to basics and get involved and keep it really simple. Like I complicate things. I don't know if anybody else does, but like, I like complicate things. And this is not a complicated program. It just takes a level of surrender, and that level is different for everybody. And as far as the eighth, and ninth step, you know, I've ran around in my like golden years of AA and made a lot of amends and crashed and burned a couple of times. So like, there's some people that just want to see me show up. Another amends will be made, but it's like, I have to demonstrate some of these. I don't know if I mentioned my sobriety date is June 11th this year. So there's clearing the wreckage of your past, and there's some damage control here. And a lot of it right now is just demonstrating the principles to the people that I terrorized for so many years. Whether I vibe with them or agree with them, I love them regardless. And I just want them to go to sleep at night not having terror. That's pretty much, I mean, alcoholism creates terror and wreaks havoc. I mean, that group of friends like I had in that time period, like half of them are not in the rooms today. Some of them trickled back in. Some of them are in jail and some are dead. And that's just the reality. You know, I just thank God for my sponsor, because, like, I was like, my daughter feels safe around me. That's a huge thing. Like, me and my daughter have always had, like, a really, like, close relationship, but when I wasn't right, she knew it right away, because we're so closely bonded, and she'd give me this, like, look, you know, this, you're not okay, you know. She's young, but she's, like, not stupid. She's like, I don't get that look today. And, like, there's so many other promises that I really can mention, but that might be the one that is the most worth it. I don't get that look today. And I'm there for her. And she's a little neurotic, my daughter. I don't know. Maybe she's one of us. I don't know. It's not my business. But she has some stuff going on, and, like, I understand it, like, on a deep level. And I'm able to, like, understand her, and she appreciates that. Like, even if she's, like, freaking out at me, I'm just like, I get it. Yeah. Like, I know it's not personal, you know? Like, it's just something going on with her. And I'm able to have, like, what this program has, like, taught me is, like, connect to my heart, connect to my higher power. And what that's taught me, and also, like, it's just taught me, like, compassion on, like, a whole deeper level, and empathy. And actually, like, going to those depths of suffering have taught me deeper levels of compassion and empathy. And I have the other promise of, like, you know, not regretting the past or wishing to shut the door on it. Like, I wouldn't trade any of it to not feel the freedom that my heart feels right now. I would go through all of it again, as painful and as demoralizing as it was. I truly would go through all of it again. Maybe a couple, no. Everything's perfect in God's world, honestly. And it's when I try and, like, manipulate it or change you, arrange the players, arrange the show, the play, is when I suffer. But when I let go and just let life happen and accept the flow of life and accept my path here and my purpose, which is to help the next alcoholic, when I'm not fighting that, I'm okay. Like, I feel okay. Like, it's gonna be okay. Like, what if I lose a business? Another job. So what if this happens? This legal thing. Like, it's just gonna be okay. And, like, when I'm right with this program and I'm right with God, that's how I feel. Is kind of going back to that, like, small experience I had in the woods. It's kind of like this program is because I'm still new. So this program is bringing me into a natural flow of that state of, which is unbelievable. Like, it's unbelievable that this does that. It's like, what? The 10th step keeps me in alignment with, the, you know, what's going on, inside of me. Because if I'm not blocked, I'm not useful to anyone. And that's been really powerful, and, like, my sponsor will lay down an hour at a time to just talk to me through this, and I don't even know, like, really what I'm paying a therapist for. She's something else. And I have to give it away, you know, the way that the selflessness that I've been shown, like, I have to give that away to stay sober. Like, it's not a matter of, should I will not stay sober. Like, and that's, I think, the difference, that I feel today, is that I know deep in my soul I've conceded that I'm an alcoholic, and this is what God's given us to free ourselves of the problem. And it's a very simple outline. And I don't have much wiggle room. I don't have much wiggle room to, now, you know, I'm not going to be perfect, but I don't have much wiggle room in certain areas. I have to stay connected to the fellowship. I have to stay connected to the program. I have to stay connected to God. I have to reach my hand out always to the next sick and suffering alcoholic. I have to stay in 10, 11, and 12. I have to show up for family. I have to show up for myself. I have to take care of myself. There's a lot of things. I'm kind of crazy. So I have other issues that I have to take care of too. It's not just this. I did the really normal thing and went and got hypnotized the other day for PTSD. I was having some serious flashbacks, and it was it actually worked really well. But but God told me to do it, so there was a solution to that, and I don't know, my life today, like, you know, I have a home, I have my, we're like renovating right now, so we're like, I'm like being all creative with my home, and each space is like reflecting how, you know, how we feel, and it's coming out beautiful. Like, I say that because, like, when God's in my life, it touches other areas of my life. And it starts to become beautiful and safe and sacred. And I'm seeing that happen and all it's developing. And I'm seeing so much love in my life. People coming, you know, out of nowhere, out of the blue, that I'm having deep connections with. And my daughter's back in my life. My ex-husband moved like 3 minutes around the corner from me. It was just like insane. Sometimes I can't stand that guy, but I still love him. You know, he's God's kid, and he hasn't been coming to meetings for like 5 years, so I keep trying to like edge him back in here. But that's his business, basically. That's all his business, you know. I just still have to show up. I still have to be kind. I still have to be a good co-parent. And I think I am doing a pretty good job there right now. Only with God's help. And I'm gonna like probably shut this down soon. This is 8:55, but thank you for listening to me. I'm just gonna read A Vision for You. I read it every day. It's been helpful. Our book is meant to be suggestive only. We realize we know only a little. God will constantly disclose more to you and to ask. Ask him in your morning meditation. Ask him in your morning meditation what you can do each day for the man who is still sick. The answers will come. If your own house is in order, but obviously you cannot transmit something you haven't got, see to it that your relationship with him is right, and great events will come to pass for you and countless others. This is the great fact for us. Abandon yourself to God as you understand God. Admit your faults to him and to your fellows. Clear away the wreckage of your past. Give freely of what you find and join us. We shall be with you in the fellowship of the Spirit, and you will surely meet some of us as you trudge the road of happy destiny. May God bless you and keep you until then. So that's A Vision for You. That's my story. Thanks.